brought to you by the new Bose A20 Aviation Headset. Bose is now introducing their most advanced pilot headset ever, the new Bose A20 Aviation Headset. It provides significantly greater noise reduction than currently available, along with improved comfort, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.
On October 1st, Edwards Air Force Base in California will host the first ever fly-in for general aviation pilots, who are invited to land at the historic Rosamond Dry Lakebed. I'm Mary Grady for AvWeb, and today I'm talking with Meredith Mingledorf, who's the Public Affairs Officer at the base, and Bill Kukurikos, who's a flight safety representative there. Meredith, could you start? Who's invited to this event?
Well, we actually have invited general aviators. We started out with California, but it has gone worldwide very quickly. And it came out of the Flight Safety Office decided to hold this event, and Bill can tell you a little bit more about that. But we're getting a great response. So far, we have more than 2,000 applicants interested in flying into the base.
And is there any kind of screening? I mean, are you really looking for local pilots, or is anyone welcome to apply?
Well, I'll let Bill answer that question.
We started out, like Meredith said, we wanted mostly Southern California and Nevada pilots because of our airspace and our location in the country. Obviously, you know, friends tell their friends and they tell their friends, and we're getting applications from all over, and we're not necessarily excluding pilots from, Florida or Pennsylvania or wherever else they're putting their applications in. So we will keep it open to everybody who wants to come in here to be a part of the history of the base and be a part of the legend of Edwards Air Force Base.
Many pilots, I'm sure, are familiar with the Edwards legend, but I wonder if you could just give us a quick refresher.
Well, the base itself started out near the end of World War II in the flight test mission. There were activities before then, but it was mostly military training kind of stuff. But the flight test mission started near the end of World War II, and ever since then, just about every imaginable technology in aviation has come through Edwards Air Force Base. We had the first jet aircraft, the XB-59, flying here. We broke the sound barrier, as everybody knows, with Chuck Yeager. And from there, just about every of the Century Series jets was tested here. We went from there to the Space Shuttle, and from there to the F-22. Right now we're testing F-35, and even the Airborne Laser, which is the first flying combat laser aircraft, is operational right now here at Edwards. So it's just an amazing place. If you want to be at the heartbeat of all the leading-edge technology of aviation, this is pretty much the place to be.
So as a rule, is that airspace totally restricted for general aviation pilots?
Not all of it. The airspace that Edwards lives in is part of a larger piece of airspace called R-2508. It's called the R-2508 complex. Within that complex, there are restricted airspaces in it that are restricted to civilian flyers. But I would say probably 50% of the complex is military operating areas, or MOAs, and there are plenty of civilians that fly through the airspace on a regular basis. And part of our safety program will be to instruct them on how the R-2508 complex works and how they can safely navigate through the complex whenever they feel like it. We do this as part of our normal safety program, where we go to pilot organizations all over Southern California and Nevada and visit them and actually show them this program. This is kind of in reverse. We're inviting everybody to come to Edwards, and we will show you the safety portion of flying through our airspace with you visiting us here.
So for this event then on October 1st, what exactly is the agenda? If pilots do get selected to fly in, what will they experience there?
Well, the fly-in starts, the first landings will start at 6:45 in the morning. We'll have everybody on the ground, I hope, by 9:15. There'll be a pancake breakfast going on that entire time of the arrival, so people can get something to in them, because they probably got up way early to get here that early. Our General Eichhorn, our commanding officer, will welcome them to the affair. We will have flyovers that morning also from jets taking off from Edwards, and we're not exactly sure what they'll see, but it could be F-22, could be an F-35, could be C-17, C-130s, whatever's on the schedule that morning will fly over the affair, and they'll get to see that. We are planning a possible parachute drop by our test parachutist team out of maybe either a C-130 or a C-17. We will give them a briefing on the airspace and procedures and how to operate in either our airspace or any other special use airspace that they get involved in and what to do. There'll also be a special briefing on women in aviation, and we'll highlight Pancho Barnes and also all the women currently in the military that are flight testing here at Edwards. We'll have a catered lunch for them. After lunch, we'll probably have about a 2 or 3 hour time frame where the crowd can mingle around. It's kind of free time. They will have static displays out there. We plan on having maybe a C-130, a C-12, which is basically a King Air, maybe a Predator UAV, and maybe a Marine helicopter, plus a bunch of warbirds. I know we're getting a DC-3 in here, a couple of P-51s, and some other airplanes. So the crowd can go out there and take a look at the airplanes, maybe talk to some of their friends out there, and then they'll leave pretty much on their own from about 1:30 to maybe 4:30 in the afternoon. We'll have them kind of flow out on their own at that point.
Okay, so they will actually be landing on the dry lake bed, is that right? And what kind of challenges will that entail?
Yes, they'll be landing on Roseman Dry Lake Bed. And by the way, just to back up a little bit, not only will we have fly-ins, we are having people driving into this event too. So we'll have an entire parking lot out there of a whole bunch of folks driving in to see the same exact thing. All this event will be out on the Roseman Dry Lake Bed. The lake bed has generally been used as a backup lake bed to the main lake bed at Edwards, which is Muroc. Muroc is the main mission lake bed, which we're not really going to use for this event, so we'll use Rosamond instead. The challenge of landing on a lake bed, even for experienced lake bed flyers like myself and others, is that the visual illusions are fairly extreme, because it pretty much is like landing on a lake. You get to within about 5-10 feet of the runway and you lose perspective of height above the ground. And in general, most pilots will flare fairly high, about 5 feet higher than they normally flare, and end up getting a dropped in landing, which really not a big deal, but that's just one of the things that we will warn them. All the folks that will be selected, we're going to send them a safety DVD that shows them. We actually went out there and landed in Cessnas, and we filmed the landing procedures and kind of like to get them warmed up on what to expect and how not to flare too high in the lake bed. And then after that, the other big challenge will be that out here in the high desert in the afternoon, occasionally, but more than half the time probably, the winds pick up to 15, gusting to 25, and sometimes even stronger. So what we're warning pilots that are coming in or want to come in is that make sure your flying skills in high winds are up to speed. Otherwise, you're going to be in for a surprise when you try to take off and you're not good at flying in high winds. It's really not a big deal for us. You know, for those of us who fly in the high desert are used to flying in 25 gusting 35 type winds. But for somebody who's uninitiated in that kind of stuff, it could be a little intimidating for them to begin with.
And there are actually runways there, right? It's not like it's a big open space and you can just take off directly into the wind. You could have a crosswind factor?
Well, that's correct in one way. In another way, the runway is wide enough that if they want to add a few degrees, go from one corner to the other, they can. And in reality, if somebody goes outside the lines, they have to go 3 more miles to hit something. So it is a pretty big old lake bed, but we will have the lines out there just to guide everybody in the right direction.
Okay, great. And is there any particular history for that particular part of the Air Force Base, the Rosamund Bed?
I think mostly it's been used as a backup lake bed for the main one. One of the recent things that we've done is there was an Antarctic delivery mission that the Air Force was preparing for, and they needed a surface and an environment where they could practice the C-130 airdrops, and they were using Rosamund Lake Bed as that area. And somebody says that walking on Rosamund or driving out there looks like you're on the moon, and very much the ground is broken up and it looks like all cratered up, kind of like the moon. Although it is very hard packed and no airplanes will sink in, we promise you that. It's all certified runway by our engineers.
Oh, okay. Now the deadline for the lottery is September 10th, is that correct? And there's just 100 pilots who will be selected?
Well, the lottery itself will happen on September 10th. The deadline for submissions actually is on Thursday the 25th, which is tomorrow at 5 p.m. We were planning to run it all the way to September, but we have gotten so many applicants that we are basically deluged with paperwork right now. So before it got way out of hand, we decided to cut it off basically tomorrow night at 5 p.m. And we warned people by posting it on the website. A few days ago, we put that out on the website, just to warn them that we're going to start shutting things down.
Oh, okay. So any of our readers who want to apply better get going then.
Yeah, better get going, yeah. And now they can drive in if they like. We'll keep the drive-ins open, but the fly-in portion of it, we've just gotten to the point where we just can't handle the applications. We're over 2,000 pilots right now, and we only are going to have 100 slots, so we're going to have to go through a lot of paperwork to get to the 100 pilots that are going to win this. Now, even though we closed down the main application, people that own Warbirds will still be able to apply. And if you're in the Civil Air Patrol unit and you want to bring in a Civil Air Patrol-owned airplane, which is government-owned, then you can still also apply in that case.
So what about the people who drive in? Is there any limit on that number, or is it pretty much open to whoever wants to go?
Well, there will be a point where we reach physical capacity where we just can't feed anybody anymore. So we're trying to, you know, keep, we're trying to be flexible in that, and we're trying to get as many people as we can in, but it's all a matter of physical ability to actually run the lunch line and get things done in time instead of having, you know, hour-long lunch lines out there. So we're trying to see what we can do, but we're going to try and get at least 1,000 people out on the lake bed and see what happens.
So, Meredith, is the plan for this to become an annual event?
Mary, what we're hoping to do is have this event come in on opposite years. So every other year we'll do this event or something similar, and then on the rotating years, we would do a traditional air show. The people that work and live on this base are the pioneers of innovative flight research and development, and our mission is to get that technology to our warfighters on the ground. So coming here and being a part of this event, you're supporting our airmen and our Air Force, and you're learning about flight safety, which is the important thing to remember here, how to do what we do safely.
The other part of that is that, just like Meredith said, you know, our mission is to deliver weapons that actually work to the warfighters. And that'll be part of the general's welcome brief to show everybody the current programs that are currently on the base, the current testing that is going on, and what, you know, what parts of the envelope we are pushing today. You never know. While the folks are out there, they may end up hearing a sonic boom or two, and that may be the F-22s or F-35s pushing their envelope a little bit further. And then on the safety side, also one of the things we want to tell the folks that actually do get picked to come in here, there won't be as many airplanes as Oshkosh, but it will be just as crowded as Oshkosh in the skies for a few hours, because we're bringing everybody in within a two-hour type window. So what we'd like to let everybody know is, you know, keep your eyes out there, listen to what the approach is telling you, and be careful coming in. We don't want to have any kind of problems coming inbound, so just be careful that way.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. Again, this was Mary Grady with AvWeb. For more information about the October 1 flying at Edwards Air Force Base, go to www.flighttestnation.com. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by the new Bose A20 aviation headset, Bose is now introducing their most advanced pilot headset ever, the new Bose A20 aviation headset. It provides significantly greater noise reduction than currently available, along with improved comfort, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.